the Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Specials Podcast. Apologies, first of all, for our late arrival. We usually record this on a Friday, doing it on a Saturday today, but that is because Mr. Rob Dixon, you can't have a high-powered meeting with a music executive to change the theme tune to a podcast and expect to get back from LA on a Friday, can you?
Well,
so how did it go?
I managed it. It's gone very, very well. Don't you worry, the jingle on its way.
Wow, this is exciting times. I thought you might just come up with some poxy music. I can't believe you've gone to all these lengths.
You're thinking I'm going to pick you some poxy music off YouTube, and that's not the case, no. I have got some quality music on its way.
I can't wait. I really can't wait. We're still doing this on Skype, though, so we're still kind of trusting technology. Celebrity Big Brother, X Factor, and Strictly are our subject matters today. Celebrity Big Brother, Farrah, is the latest one to go. The bitch has gone, as Manish said on Twitter last night. Won't be missed in the house, I wouldn't have thought. But the good news for you, Rob, is that your big 16-1 outsider, James Hill, 8-13 in the betting now. Wow.
Yeah, it'd be good to get a winner for the pod at the start of the reality season. I'll probably do it all in on Strictly and X Factor over the course of the next few months, but at least I've got a little bit more money, hopefully, to play with. And to be quite honest, I can't really see him getting beat now. He's pulled sort of a long way clear. The polls have got him double. The digital spy poll had him sort of double the votes of everybody else. So unless there's a late run, Stevie and Chloe have been the big mover in the market over the last 24 hours. 33-1 they were yesterday. Before they were announced as one of the four who were automatically safe last night, and down a short now as 7-1.
In between James Hill and Stevie and Chloe and is Natasha Hamilton at 11-4, and then the bigger ones, 16-1 Austin, 16-1 Bobby Davro, 20-1 Janice Dickinson, 66-1 for Jenna Jameson, and the same price for Sherry Hewson continues through the weekend and finishes off next week. So if it gets really interesting, Rob, maybe to make up for our tardiness this week, maybe we could do one, maybe a mini one sometime next week.
We might let the viewers into we did two last week, didn't we? So we're not losing out, are we? We're still one podcast up on where we should be.
True. Let's have a look very quickly at Strictly, because really we're not any closer to knowing any more about the betting than we were last week. Andy Holding with us from the start of the live shows from next week then. It's pretty much as you were in terms of we saw who they were paired with. It's been a bit of chat in the papers this week about this and that, but there's not much moving the betting. 5-2 with Peter Andre, 5-1 Helen George, 7-1 Georgia Mayfort, 8-1 Jamelia and Jake McGuinness, same as Kirsty Gallagher, 12s Katie Durham, 16s Anthony Ogogo and Kelly Bright, 20s for Anita Rani, 25s for Ewan Thomas and Ainsley Harriott, 33s for Daniel O'Donnell, and the big outsiders, Carol and Jeremy.
Yeah, there's no real change. I would say that the BBC website has just got a few clips coming up, and they will have more this week of some of the practice dances. Obviously, by Friday, we're now... there's two shows next week, Friday and a Saturday show. So we should know middle of the week sort of what they're performing and what dances they're doing. So that might impact on the prices, and more specifically the elimination prices, albeit the fact that nobody goes in the first week. It's only after the second week does somebody go.
Yeah, exactly. And by then, I mean, Andy does watch those training videos and uses them quite a lot for his research, so it's well worth keeping abreast of them and spending about an hour looking through them all just to see who's getting on, who's moaning, who seems to be getting, you know, along with their partner particularly well, etc. X Factor was a pretty big weekend last week, wasn't it, Rob, for different acts bursting into the betting. I suppose that the biggest one was Kira Weathers coming in straight in at 5-1. Still got Louisa Johnson at 9-2, Fourth Power 10-1, Sean Miley Moore 12s, Simon Lynch 12s from previous weeks, Chloe Page 14s, Josh Daniel 14s as well, Anton Steffen 16-1, Che Chesterman 16s, Monica Michael 16-1, Lauren Murray 20s, the First Kings 20s, 25-1 and bigger the rest. So I suppose you're looking at what Chloe and Kira coming into the betting, aren't you?
Yeah, with yeah, it's been a sort of interesting week. Kira Withers, you could get as big as sort of 10-1 when she sang on the night, and yeah, she's backed in now to 5. I've still got my doubts. I just wonder the fact that the first show tends to be the main launch show for the series. I just wonder why they've picked Louisa to have that first show and Kira. She hasn't even really got the last show. It's the last week of the auditions this week, and it just seems strange that they've gone with Louisa on the first week and not Kira. And that might be a sort of first indication of where the producers see the show this year going. But nothing really to fault Kira. She was very strong, very sort of reminded me a little bit of Fleur East at the beginning. But again, if I'd back Kira, the only thing that would worry me is why they chose Louisa for that first slot over Kira.
Yeah, true. Yeah, the other one was Monica Michael, who we've seen before, haven't we, Rob?
Yeah, Monica Michael. I think probably.
I thought she was excellent last year, and she was. I watched her and just thought to myself, I'm really like keen on her to do really well this year, and she just inexplicably almost didn't get through. As far as I thought she would, I thought she was excellent. Maybe a bit too much attitude and all the rest of it, yeah. But she's back in the betting as well. Not a great record of people coming back in after failing, I suppose.
No, there's SofaBet website, SofaBet.com. They mentioned quite rightly where they're going to go with her. There's obviously there's the comparison with Melanie McCabe. There's also the comparison with Paul Acaster, who tried and didn't get through, and then eventually got through to the live shows last year, but was quite an early exit for him. And I just wonder, in a market where you've got two pretty strong girls at the top, there's also Chloe Page up there. I just wonder where Monica fits into their thinking.
Yeah, agreed. So it's still a bit of a watching brief, really, with X Factor, and more tonight as well, of course, as we record this. As you mentioned, it's being curtailed a little over the course of the next few weeks with the Rugby Union World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, tonight's the last audition stage.
Yeah,
and then tomorrow they're going to do. Tomorrow is the boot camp stage. So I think it's quite a long programme tomorrow. I think it's a good 2-hour programme tomorrow night.
Oh, John.
Yeah, the missus will be pleased. So, 2 hours tomorrow, and then I think we start judges' houses. They've changed. Originally, judges' houses were going to be live shows the whole way through, but it's the logistics of that has meant that it's going to change, and it's now just going to be, they're just going to announce, they're going to perform, the actual performances are going to be recorded, and then the actual announcement, they're going to bring them back to the studio, and the actual studio bit is going to be live, where they announce which 3/4 acts are going to get through to the live shows.
Well, I can barely wait to see if the lists that have been circulating on the internet are actually true, and if they are all through to the finals. Eventually, they'll just do like one show, will be a highlight show, and then that'll be it. We'll just see all of them go through, and then there'll be no need for all these lists.
Yeah.
Anything else on the specials pages?
It's been a pretty quiet week. So, well, as for me, I've been sat at home. But not the sports personality. There's been no changes. Again, Oscars is quite a long way. We haven't really seen any money for number one Christmas single or Snow. One
little thing that's probably worth mentioning on the spotty betting is whether you kind of get in now and expect the rugby union team to win the World Cup. You're getting 5-1 for them to be the team of the year at the moment. 7-4 for the England men's cricket team, who obviously have already got their urn in the bag. And also 5-2 for the GB Davis Cup team. So, you know, the Davis Cup team playing Australia in the semi-finals this weekend will probably get through that, and then we'll probably win the final as well, because you're only going to have to beat either Belgium or Argentina. I know these are big ifs. And then 5-1 for the rugby union team. That's an interesting market, that, at the minute, Rob, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's just how...
England, sorry, and I should mention the England women's football team, of course, who did really well. 8-1.
I think it's just one of those of how much you rate the Ashes win over...
over what was probably in the end a quite weak Australia side, and the fact that you haven't got any terrestrial coverage of the Ashes. Obviously, we won the Ashes. The team won the Ashes in 2005, but it didn't win. I don't think it won in 2013, the team of the year. So, I mean, there's chances that it gets beaten. Obviously, the GB Davis Cup team, GB were, for me, I think, quite a big price. I think they were about 33-1 before the start of the Davis Cup this year. Again, it's reliant on them getting through Australia. Bizarrely, it is an easier final if they get through, but you've got to hope that Andy Murray stays fit, any Andy Murray injury, and you can have whatever price you want on GB winning.
The only tiny bit of value is that England's rugby union team to win Spotty is 5-1 and 9-2 to win the World Cup. So maybe a half a point of value there.
Point of value, yeah.
They will win team of the year if they win the World Cup.
And you've obviously got the fact that the individual options probably work out bigger. You're still looking at your Chris Robshaw, George Ford. They're your main two players. It all depends on the final, doesn't it? You get sort of Johnny May, Anthony Watson, I think his name is. I'm not a rugby union fan. I turned it off last night. I watched 10 minutes. That was enough. That's enough of the World Cup for me. But probably the individual players, even Chris Robshaw 40, George Ford 50, might be worth a little bit more value than the 5-1 team of the year so far.
But betting obviously available on the World Cup all over williamhill.com with some great offers. Rob, thanks very much for your time on this Saturday morning. We'll reconvene during the week for a bit of Celebrity Big Brother. Have a good weekend. We'll see you soon.
Cheers.
Thanks, Rob. If you want to have a bet on any of the markets that were mentioned, X Factor, Strictly or Celebrity Big Brother, then go to the TV specials pages at williamhill.com. And if you're having a bet on any of them, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.